This is Robbie Dillmore from the Christian Car Guy and Kingdom Pursuit, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build a kingdom. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it and share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Robbie. No, it's not Robbie.
Oh my gosh, we're in trouble again.
It is. Okay, this is some fill-ins here today. My name's Andy Thomas. I'm acquainted with Robbie through the Masculine Journey radio show and boot camps. And we also have Rodney Smoots with us. Rodney?
Yep. Associated also from the Masculine Journey. He's got a couple of rookies here trying to fill in for him, doing the best we can, folks. So just bear with us. We'll get through this all together. It'll be all right.
Robbie, I agree, Robbie.
Yep. It is pretty funny, isn't it, wow. Robbie? Yep.
Love to hear Robbie laugh. Trademark from him. But what we're going to be talking to you today is we've kind of had a change in plans. We were going to have a couple different topics for you. One of the topics is when Robbie asked me to sit in on this, I was like, okay, so I don't have necessarily a kingdom pursuit and I don't have a lot of contact with ministries like he does. But what I do have is recently me and a friend of mine and several friends of mine, we decided to, during this COVID, we realized that we had become disconnected with our communities, our church and stuff like that. Well, we had connected over time, and I'll talk more about that later. But we just saw the need to really connect with one another. So we basically started, I don't like to call it a Bible study. It was a group of men that met to discuss men's issues, and particularly what we've ended up talking a lot about is what's kind of going on in the world today and the need for men to be men and the whole masculine journey with that. And we adopted a book, and I'll talk about that a little bit later with Stuart Roberts. He's on with me. I'll talk a little bit more about our friendship later, but he's on with us. He's in the studio with us. What we were going to have is Rodney had a friend that's over, was it the High Point Jail Ministry?
Yeah, he's done several ministries, and jail ministry was kind of his calling. So if we can still get a hold of him yet, having trouble reaching him. So if we get him on the air, we'll jump into some jail ministry discussion as well and what his passion is.
So, Stu, so you know, you're carrying the show now for the rest of the time. But no, we just wanted to just kind of set up what we're doing, because we feel like even though this isn't an official ministry or anything, we want to kind of inspire men that feel disconnected now because of COVID. Maybe in their local church that they're not really having a time where they really come together and talk about men's issues in a closed setting. Because a lot of times men struggle with sharing their heart and being open and transparent. And, God calls us to it. Talks about confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Well, how are you going to do that unless you share your life with somebody else? And that's what I've gotten from, the Masculine Journey team. We talk about the Wild Heart team, the John Elders is where we get a lot of this information. But it's been so relevant to my life, and I've shared it with, my friends, Stuart being one. We just kind of want to walk through that, what it's looked like in our time during COVID and some of the social unrest, just how we've been able to share about different things. So, what should we do next? Just jump into it?
Yeah, let's go right on in, because as you were talking there, Andy, just exactly my story a little bit is I've always went to church since I was young. My mom was the one that was taking me to church, so we'd always go, and I'd go with her every Sunday, and, only one time when I was a teenager that I had to, leave the pew to go throw up during church, because I was so hungover, that kind of thing. So I was, you know, really big follower of Jesus when I was young. You know, I was there, but I was not there in spirit. And then later, finally, when I was, my life had changed. I'd lost my job and got a new job down in Charlotte, living in Winston-Salem early in the morning, traveling down to Charlotte. I hear on the same channel that I listen to NASCAR to, because I'm a NASCAR fan. I'm living in NASCAR country, mm-hmm. right? So there's NASCAR channels, you know, all over the place. So I left it on that channel. I get up at 5 a.m. to go drive, and who comes on but Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh. I love what he's talking about here. This is great stuff. I mean, you know, he's talking about the Bible. He just teaches. He just goes, you know, chapter by chapter through the whole entire Bible, switching from Old and New Testament. And he's talking about men and where men should be and what we are meant to be in God's eyes as leaders. And I'm like, it just dawned on me. It's like, oh, my gosh, that's the whole problem. Because I know you can see the problems in the world.
Yeah.
But when you're like, men are not leading, and Rodney, you have to step up and first make yourself into the man you're not so that you can lead when your time is called. And this fits in right here, and you're just kind of reminding me of all that when I kind of actually then really gave my life to Christ.
Absolutely, and Rodney, I mean, it's been a blessing being in the masculine journey with him. You know, I think it's, what, a year or two that you've been a part of the team, and he just came as a visitor to the boot camp, and we've adopted him right into the ministry. And he's it's great to hear his story, his heart, and that's the thing is there should be nothing that gets in the way of us reaching out and doing this and what's been given to us. I mean, whatever we've received through something, we should be giving back, and that's what I mean. I felt like I was kind of giving that to Stuart and another guy we'll talk about as we did the ministry, but they had already been doing some of this stuff. And what we really need to do is just continue on in that way, because as the times get short, I think, as we experience some of the stuff, the perilous times that we live in, we're going to need to have men with whole hearts. Just a little bit about Stuart and I. We were best friends in high school, or at least I considered him a best friend. I don't know what he'll say.
Amen.
All right, let's dive into some of that.
You don't need to talk.
But, let me open this.
Open that can of worms.
Exactly.
We connected about year 2000 somewhere. I forgot how we did it. And we kind of lost contact till about 2012, 13, somewhere around there. I'd been separated and was looking for some fellowship and friendship, and Stuart and I connected, but just our lives didn't allow us to really connect that close. But as we went deeper or as we stayed in contact with each other, he invited me into a fantasy football league. Well, you know, that's a good way to get community, right? Competing in fantasy football. Yeah. And then we got into the Panthers, and we went to some of the playoff games together. Yeah. And then I got a job. I was in cybersecurity, traveling quite a bit up in the mid-Atlantic. And while I did, I had a dog that I loved dearly, but I didn't want to go put her in a kennel all the time. You know, wasn't really cost effective, but more importantly, I wanted her to be able to interact with people or whatever. And Stuart and his wife Tisha did a great job of just being a adopted parents while I was gone. It was awesome. Yeah, I miss Lucy. She has passed on, but that got us connected because, you know, we just stayed connected through that. And then recently, we had a friend of ours, a friend of Stuart's, Michael Euless. We connected through the whole fantasy football thing, and I'm going to fast forward this real quick. We had stayed somewhat connected, but we really reconnected when we share text and stuff like that, but we hadn't been connected. But when COVID hit, we realized we needed something, and we started talking about how we could come together and be together as a team, or not a team, but as a group, and to offer support to one another.
So brotherhood.
Yeah, brotherhood. Yep, exactly.
Exactly.
You know, we first started talking about, quote, a Bible study, and you know, we study the Bible, we talk about Scripture, but we use the book Heart of a Warrior. It's very close related to Wild at Heart. The guy that wrote it actually got some of his ideas, but he has a different perspective, and that's the book we use as our foundation and what we'll talk a little bit about more. We're about to ready to go to break, Stuart, but I want you to just, we'll talk about it We'll finally let you have the mic when we come back.
It's hard to grab it away from us, I know. We're rookies, but we love this mic.
Keep talking.
I'm like the Energizer Bunny. Once I get started, I can't stop. So.
Yeah, so here we're going to talk about what took Stuart and Andy's heart and turned it into a passion of learning and brotherhood with one another for men. Hey, we're back. We're live. We're on the Kingdom Pursuits, where God takes your passion and turns it into a kingdom pursuit. So, Lord, I tell you, I just love being here today. Thank you for having Robbie getting me and Andy out of our comfort zone in here today. We love being on. And by the way, speaking of being on, Rick, are you there?
Yes.
Hey. Sure, glad to have you. Rick's passion is jail ministry, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. So just say hello to all our listeners real quick, Rick.
Good afternoon. I hope everybody's well today.
Hey, we're doing well. Glad you are, too. So one of the things we want to make sure we get to, because Robbie always has his riddles, right? Robbie's riddles. So I am not going to have Robbie's laugh, but I think Beth Ann will help us out there. But so we're talking about wholeheartedness, and speaking of the heart, do you know what part of the United States produces the largest number of cardiologists, Andy?
I do not.
It's the Heartland. Yeah, the Heartland. And do you know who really puts their heart into their cause? That would be organ donors. They put their heart into it. So, did you know that the lady that stole the policeman's heart, he made a cardiac arrest? Hey, how about that, huh? Yeah. The man.
So does Robbie.
Yeah. The man was wheeled into the operating room, but then he had a change of heart. Yeah, okay. I know. Some of them are a little dry. I get it. If they weren't, we'd be in trouble. So, what kind of conversations do cardiologists like to have? Heart-to-heart conversations. Come on. Yes. Come on. All right. When you're discussing a loan with a banker, that's a loan, A-L-O-N-E. When you're alone with the banker, I want you to really be careful. Do you know why, Rick? Do you know why?
I'm not sure I'm on the right show.
We often get this with the riddles. Why is that?
Yeah.
Well, it's because the banker just might have their own interest at heart. Okay, but I have to throw in another one here. Speaking of...
Do you really?
Yeah, I really do.
You're not done
And this yet. This is throwing out to Harold.
Harold.
Our wonderful, wise old friend and sage, Harold. Because you know what they say about old man, right? What do they say about the old man? He's long in the truth. And here we are on the Truth Network, long on truth. How about that?
Are you done yet?
Well, I got to do the last Bible riddle so people can call in. And Beth Ann, tell them what they'll win if they call in for this wonderful riddle that I have for them.
Oh, man, boys from Kingdom Pursuits. We're going to go into the Truth Prize Closet, and we're going to pick out something really great, like a book or a T-shirt. Just some really awesome stuff.
Oh, yeah, and I recommend, because I've actually called in before and got stuff. I love it.
A whole closet full?
I don't have a closet full, but I have called in and won something, so it's been nice. So, when it comes to wholeheartedness, speaking of wholeheartedness in the Bible, which book, and it's going to depend on which version you look at, because the different translations have a little different wording, but which one of those books in the Bible speaks the most about using the whole heart? So again, which book in the Bible speaks the most about using the whole heart? So call in, win something from the prize vault, and join us here on Kingdom Pursuits.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
I tried. I did my best.
You did great.
You did awesome.
Yay.
Like, Robbie was here.
Yeah.
Robbie/Robbie.
Well, his laugh is.
It is. I mean, it's like, thank you.
Thank you, Beth Ann.
You're welcome.
All right. So instead of me running my mouth, I'm going to throw it over to my friend Stu. And I just want to give, and it's Stu Roberts, not Stu Epperson, but his more formal name, Stuart. But I'm going to throw it over to him and just get his perspective kind of on our relationship, how we kind of reconnected with God. I mean, Stuart and I didn't always we had some God encounters when we were together, but we probably spent more of our time not in that vein, if you know what I mean. And just his perspective on kind of our friendship and how we've been able to be kind of like a David and Jonathan, we feel like, together. And then just kind of how the, you know, this, you know, this men's group kind of took off.
Amen. Well, Andy, Rodney, thank you guys for inviting me here today on Kingdom Pursuits. And looking forward to sharing some of the words, some of the testimonies of what God is doing and what God has done, and just excited to be here and being part of this fun ministry and the masculine journey that you guys are on and that I'm on. So again, my name's Stuart Roberts. I have a beautiful, bubbly wife, Tisha, an unbelievable, great, awesome son, 23-year-old son, Mitchell, and I am a certified arborist and co-owner in a great company, Freddie Tree Care. So we do tons of tree work from Charlotte to here to the Triad, and actually my business partner and we've got a ministry involved in that business as well. So we're excited about what we're doing on a day-to-day basis in God's world, God's kingdom. But as Andy said, you know, Andy and I reconnected. Let me go way back. Andy and I met when we were about in the fifth grade, and he came from Missouri and came to the little town of King, North Carolina. And
yeah, that's little.
That was small.
Although it's bigger than I remember.
Shout out to you, Darren.
Exactly. But we immediately connected. Both sports minded, driven guys, and just started a journey together. Way back in the day, playing sports and being competitors. And so, you know, as we grew up, again, we grew up best of friends, played sports together, or went on camping trips, and you know, what boys do, fishing, hunting, we did it all. And so, you know, as we grew up and, you know, we graduated high school and went pretty much our separate ways, and had families. We were just lost contact there for a while, and then, as Andy said, about in 2012, this was again. I love how God shows off, like you were talking about, Andy, and he does some miraculous things. Again, it's about that time I was like, you know, same thing Andy was telling you about. You know, I missed the friendship of my friends back in the day. And one day I was over in Greensboro looking at a job or going to meet with a client. And the funny thing is, I'm hardly ever over in Greensboro. My area is usually Charlotte to up here toward Lexington, or, you know, Salisbury area. My business partner, Kelly, he handles the Greensboro, Winston-Salem area. So anyway, for whatever reason, I was over in Greensboro that day. Stopped by Panera Bread and ate lunch, and had already ordered my food, and was paying at the counter. And I looked over to my right. Someone caught my eye. I said, "Man, that looks like Andy." And I said, "It is, you know." And so I went up and we started talking and ate lunch together, and then it's just been a friendship ever since, or reconnected ever since.
Yeah, I don't know how you knew who I was, because I just had gotten my first head shave because I was losing my hair, so it had to be God that you even recognized.
So it definitely was a God moment, and ever since then we have stayed connected. I mean, day in, day out, we encourage one another. We have, you know, like he said, we got into some fantasy football games. We got a Men of God League that we had, Michael Euless, our other friend, started. And, so we've just been, you know, sharing the word together, you know, sharing our, you know, in our family times together and hanging with Lucy and those kind of things. So, but yeah, as Andy was saying, also we, started this, with COVID, you know, we wanted to continue our Bible studies. And, so we said, okay, we, created the Zoom meetings every Saturday morning, 7:30. We get up and we, talk about, The Heart of a Warrior, Michael Thompson's book that, we're, going through right now. And so we're excited to be, you know, sharing, masculine journey, in this pursuit. You know, we have been through Wild at Heart before. John Eldridge's Wild at Heart. And I think, you know, Michael and I share some of that testimony later, but we had gone through, some of that Wild at Heart. And so, you know, this masculine journey, then Andy had, he had invited me to the boot camp Masculine Journey, which we'll get into a little bit later as well. And, he just kept pursuing me on that. And that's a great testimony. I can't wait to share on that, but, just excited about what God's doing right now.
Yeah. And Michael joining, we just kind of felt like that we needed to have something right here before COVID, because we were disconnected from our churches and stuff, like I say. So we got to talking, what are we going to do? And I was like, there was some other books that had come from the Wild at Heart team and what I was considering. And Michael was like, well, I know this guy, Michael Thompson, wrote this book that's something similar. It's The Heart of the Warrior. And I'm like, man, I've been wanting to read that. And it was just kind of a God thing, how it all orchestrated. And it's a very similar message, but it's a different vein. Michael Thompson has a ministry in the Triangle area. And, you know, Michael Euless knows him and had talked to him, hey, what should we do? We bought the package of his books. And it's been great to go through and get a different perspective, because we do, each one of us have felt like it's so important to really connect at a deeper level and to have that community during these times.
All right, welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits. And Orlando is on the phone because I hear he thinks he knows the answer to the riddle today. So let me reiterate our riddle. Speaking of wholeheartedness in the Bible, which book, and it probably based on translation, speaks the most about using the whole heart? Orlando, are you on there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, sir. Well, what book came to your mind when you talked about wholeheartedness?
There are a lot of verses around throughout the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
I will say Proverbs has a lot of them, because I like one of them, like, trust in the Lord with all your heart and not in your own understanding. But I think it's the book of Psalms, because even God called David a man after my own heart. So I would think it's the Psalms and not the Proverbs, but they're all over the place.
They are, and that's what's one of the wonderful things, and that's why we sit here and talk about wholeheartedness. We do so many different things within the different ministries that we were just talking about that we're all involved in and we wanted to bring out today. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. The Psalms is littered with mentioning of wholeheartedness. Okay.
Congrats, Orlando.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Orlando, for being on today.
Now we're going to Amy.
Hi.
Hey, you got some rookies here, so bear with us.
Sure.
So on the line we have Amy Cabo. She is another Truth Network host. She hosts The Cure at 1 p.m. Eastern. And Amy, what's going to be on the show today?
Well, today we have a very interesting show, because we have a life and business who will present to us life practice ways to deal with life's harsh circumstances and prevail nonetheless in everything we do. We hope to transform life setbacks into clarity, abundance, and but most importantly, empower others with a peace of mind.
Oh, I'd like to have some peace of mind. I don't know about you, but I sure would like that. Amy, we are so looking forward to listening to your show today. And again, call everyone out there in listener land. This is another call-in show, so call in and help support Amy and have a conversation with her this afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern. Thank you, Amy, very much.
Thank you, Amy.
All right, so now we're going to move on over to Rick. We'd like to get into a little bit of the jail ministry discussion, and I'd like to just kind of start by you sharing with us what kind of got you started, what was your passion, what drew you into jail ministry?
My name is Rick Taylor. I got started in jail ministry about 25 years ago, probably. At Calvary Baptist Church here in Wilson, they've got a vibrant jail ministry, or did. Robert Watson and some other guys said, well, we think y'all get interested in coming up there. Well, never really had thought about it. And went up there with them and started getting involved and ended up spending almost every, at least one night a week up there doing Bible study for probably over 10 years until we moved. When Mark Quartz was a dear friend and was instrumental in having us do a pretty abrupt life change and going back to seminary and pastored a while, but we're a trained biblical counselor. And found out that in jail ministry, just like in pastoral ministry, most everything you do is counseling. When you hear a sermon on Sunday morning, if the pastor's not counseling you from the Word, then, you know, it's time to evaluate what's going on, because the God's Word is what changes people.
Yes, sir.
And we saw that in jail ministry over the years. Have been a full-time chaplain in the jail. Have watched God do just unbelievable things in the lives of people that are desperate and willing to listen. That's what's so neat about jail ministry is these people, for the most part, have reached the end of their rope.
Yeah, that's a captive audience there.
Right, well, and that's very true. And they can smell untruth because of the life they've lived. So if you're not sold out about what you're trying to tell them, they know it in a minute.
Well, that's what was coming to me as we were preparing for this, Rick, and this kind of went through my mind as I thought more and more about jail ministry, is that that has to be one of the things that people in the jail can smell a rat a mile away, right? You know, and if you're not coming with the truth and love, they can spot a phony in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Right. And, you know, we worked with addicted behavior, worked with drug addicts and prostitutes and felons for literally years and years and years now. And what we find is that the scriptural truth of the fact that the truth will set you free is a mighty thing, because the Word of God, the truth involved there, sets people free from the bondage of sin in their life.
And amen.
We've seen people that literally have been incarcerated from their teenage years, seen them in their 60s come to know Christ, and watch God do miracles in their life.
Oh, that has to be very rewarding.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've never done any ministry. And like I say, I've pastored, I've done a lot of different things. I have never been involved in a ministry that was more awe-inspiring and more humbling than watching God work in jail ministry.
Wonderful. And we'll kind of pick up on that in just a little bit some more, and we'll jump back into Andy and Stu.
Okay. Yeah, great word, Rick. I agree. And, you know, there's scriptural precedent for being faithful to going and visiting the prisoners, orphans,
sure,
and widows and the prisoners, you know, just because sometimes they are forgotten, and God does amazing things. Joseph, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, was a prisoner. So thank you for that word. But Stu, I'm just going to throw it over to you. You know, we talk a lot here about the masculine journey. That's kind of where Rodney and I come from that influence. You had some exposure to the masculine journey team, and can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And Rick, I enjoyed listening to your ministry and testimony there, and just thing has encouraged my heart. Again, Andy had been involved with Masculine Journey for a while, and I think he kept planting the seed. You know, I want you to come out to one of these boot camps, and I think they have two a year, April and November. Is that correct?
Something typically,
thereabouts. Yep.
And
except for when COVID happens.
Yeah, exactly. I missed one. I think I missed another one opportunity, and I think the third or the fourth time that they he said, "Hey, this is a special," and I could feel his heart and his passion in this ministry, and I really wanted to be there, but I just kept and I'll share with this after the break, but he just really pursued me. And he said, it was one November one. And he said that, hey, I'm going to you clear your calendar, whatever, you know, you've been busy, but you need to clear your calendar. I've already signed you up. It's by faith. You're coming. and that's pretty much what got me there. And it was life changing. So,
yeah, I mean, there are times when guys don't know what they don't know, and they don't always know, you know, what the experience will be like or whatever. And I was kind of that way. I didn't go the first few times when I first heard about it. And Darren was one of the ones that reached out to me when I first connected with the ministry and encouraged me to come. And a lot of times people don't want to come to these boot camps by themselves, and it's kind of weird. Well, Stu had me, but, you know, I just let him come and receive, and he'll tell you a little bit about that. But it was like it didn't really affect him. He was there by himself pursuing God, and God met him there, and he'll share on the other side a little bit more about his story. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits. We're here just having fun, just talking, fellowshipping around the campfire. Stu, you were talking a little bit about just your first experience with Masculine Journey, coming to a boot camp. So go ahead.
Yeah, one of the experiences that I had, once I got out there and Andy says, you're coming, and I came, and it was just unbelievable, the setup, the whole year. I had some experience and some foundation with Wild at Heart. But one of the sessions that we had there specifically was, I forget who it was that was sharing. It was a Brian. It was you.
Me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was my first talk.
Andy's talk was about who am I? What does God call me? And one of my favorite songs is from Casting Crowns, "Who Am I?" And so, out of going into this segment and listening to my best friend speak on his first session there and teaching, "Who am I? Who does God say I am?" And so, I really at one of the driving forces was, after you listen to the presentation, you were to go out and get alone with God. And God, you asked that question, God, who do you say I am? And I remember going out into the woods there, and it was so beautiful and peaceful. And I was alone with God, and I was just praying and just praising Him, and just right there, just close to encounter with God. And I remember the word "counselor" coming from almost audible into my spirit. And I got so excited, and I went back, told Andy, told a lot of the Masculine Journey guys, and they said, man, just what an unbelievable testimony. And so, you know, from that point on, you know, like even Rick was talking about, you know, the counseling day in, day out. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a life coach. But counseling, the Word of God, in men's hearts. It's just a burning passion inside of me. I know one of the things, my father-in-law wrote a book called Life Experiences, and he's got such great stories in this book. But one thing that he mentioned to me about this counseling was one time he used an analogy, and he's talking about when you're threading a nut on a bolt. He says, you know, you don't go and just put the nut on the bolt and forward the rotation of the nut. He says the thing that gets it into that groove is when you twist it backwards a half a turn, it gets in that groove, and then you can spin it onto the threads there. That's a life lesson for me. I mean, it's like, you know, I went backwards in time.
Yeah.
And something, but that counseling session, it just got me into that groove, and it's just been life changing ever since. So Masculine Journey is it.
Awesome.
Okay, Rick. You talked already, kind of set yourself up. You're just so good at this already, man. You just set yourself up perfectly for where I wanted to go is the stories that you could tell. I mean, sure, they could be endless, but I know you're there to go bless others. Talk about how this has blessed you, because we know through ministry that often you go in to bless somebody else and you're the one that receives the gift. So kind of, if you could kind of share some of that, we'd love that.
Right. Well, watching God work is the most unbelievable blessing that's ever come into my life.
Wow.
I mean, watching him do the things that he's promised to do, if we're faithful to do the things that he's commanded us to do. And he's commanded us to take his truth and make disciples.
Amen.
All right. So an example in let's say, Guilford County. In the jail there, I was responsible. My mandate was to take Christ to every prisoner, male and female. That was a mandate. All right. So I had to minister to every different faith. I took every person of faith a Bible, regardless of what faith they were. I made it available to them.
Yeah.
They didn't have to take it. I took the book that they called their holy book. All right. Because if you'll work in a situation like that, you have to be fair to everybody. Well, I have seen people take the book of faith that they had clinged to and push it back across the table and say, after reading what you gave me and telling me what you told me about this man Jesus, I don't need this anymore.
It's amazing what Jesus can do in our heart, yes.
And those are the things, of course, that puts a target on you.
Yes.
Because when you minister the truth, you can rest assured that the powers are going to come against that if they can.
Yes, they will.
Amen. But you know what? We don't work for them.
Attaboy, Rick.
That's right.
I mean, one of the things I did after I got out of seminary is I counseled pastors. Well, most of their problems were the fact that they'd forgotten who they worked for.
Yep.
Well, if you get back on track and start honoring the one that you have pledged your allegiance to, he's promised to take care of it. Yeah. You know, it may not look like we want it to, but rest assured, he never fails.
Oh, thank you so much, Rick, for sharing. Oh, that was unbelievable. Awesome. Stuart, thanks for being on today. Again, this is Kingdom Pursuits. Andy and Rodney filling in for Robbie. Robbie, would love to have you back. Beth Ann, we love you guys. You guys are awesome. We look forward to you guys to coming back next week with full song and full strength.